You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast.
I am Major 7th. The entire crew is in the building. Fresh off holiday one of the holiday seasons. My man Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Got to get away for a little while.
They said you had your feet out.
I mean, like, that makes it seem like I was doing something.
No. I ain't say that. No, man, we ain't gonna put that out there.
No. I dipped down to Miami for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
So it was a new experience celebrating Thanksgiving while it was 80 degrees outside. So
that's different.
Yeah, it was different, but it was good. Got to see family I hadn't seen in a while. Like, I didn't realize it up until this. Until I got down there, I was like, well, I really haven't spent Thanksgiving with my family in maybe 4 or 5 years, you know, with the pandemic.
I see.
You know, just other things happening in the world and in my life.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get away from work and to get away from Indiana's cold weather. Because as soon as I got off that plane, the hawk was out.
Yeah. Don't hurt to be around people that you love.
So it was a good time.
I think it's footage of you walking on the beach. Like the water runs dry video.
No, there's no footage. Man. There's no footage.
That's what they say like now. But I wouldn't leak it. No way.
Yeah. So the only person who would have leaked that footage would be me. And I certainly didn't do anything like that.
My man, Longevity. How are you, buddy? It's good to see you.
Thanks. Doing all right.
The way you said, thanks, buddy, was kind of unsettling.
Was it? Yeah. Did that bother you?
He's like, yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, buddy. Doing all right, pal. How are you doing?
You starting to get stepdaddy.
How you doing? How you doing, Pally?
You starting to get stepdaddy. Show me. Don't do that, my man. DJ J Div. What's happening, man?
What's going on? Salutations.
How's everything with you, man? Holiday season doing good so far?
Yeah, man. Everything's copacetic.
Eat good.
I had like one plate.
One plate.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to.
Wasn't trying to do too much. Okay. So, what if I told you all that there's a legendary rapper?
Okay.
Elite, all-time great MC.
Okay.
He's always talked about you being on a united front with the younger generation. He's never been the person to look against or talk against the younger generation. Always embraced them.
Mm-hmm.
He drops an album with elite producers, quote-unquote executive producing, maybe having two or three records on there. The album comes out, and it sounds like
Hitmaker.
It sounds like a 23-year-old would love it and say OG went off and he snapped. But his older fans may not embrace it. What if I told you that album still can be important, even though it may not be good to the older listeners?
Why would it still be important?
The reason I'm saying it's important is because everything is on brand with what this rapper has done. And I do think it shows unity by the features and by him trying to, you know, extend his longevity.
Bridge the gap.
Now, if y'all heard Blockbuster, which I actually listened to, I'm talking about Busta Rhymes, obviously, just doing my story time. It's not for me. But I can also see why it could be received well. Are y'all following me based off what you heard?
Yeah, I mean, to me,
I can't talk on it.
Yeah. I didn't make it all the way through it because I got a little annoyed with it.
Thank you.
With it being that when you tell me that Pharrell is a part of it,
mm-hmm.
Timberland is a part of it,
mm-hmm.
Swiss Beats is a part of it, I'm expecting to hear something different.
Yep.
So I'm going into this with an expectation. And I hate to do that, but when that's what your selling point of this album is, then of course I have to go into that with that same expectation. And it was a bunch of, it almost sounded like a mixtape because it was a bunch of remakes of old beats.
Mm-hmm. UGK remake was on there.
Not as Bun B.
I mean Bun, I'm sorry, Bun B. Bun B. Yeah, Bun B.
And that actually was a dope song, the one with T-Pain and
that's the one that stuck out
with
to me.
With the baby?
Yeah.
I like that record. Yeah, that's a good song. I like that one.
But after song after song after song kept having that same pattern of being just a remake of a beat that's already been out, I was like, man, I think I'm kind of cool on finishing it. But I never made it through the whole album.
I actually listened to the whole record, and it's very, he talked about it in an interview, very club heavy. You could tell he was shooting for, as we say, records. Like, he's trying to make sure that he had an album full of that old Busta energy and just out here really trying to get some records. I thought maybe that's why there may have been a disconnect for me, because I don't go out like that anymore. I'm not 22.
So I don't even think that's what it was.
Yeah, because I listened for those kind of records, I wasn't finding them there.
But what I'm saying is, I think part of that for me, sometimes when I listen to music, I have to be in a certain pocket or be in a certain vibe to listen to it. That's something that I don't know if I can see myself riding around listening to the majority of the records that I heard on this project. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not good or they're not, you know, up to date or whatever. I'm talking about for me. I didn't hear too many records where I could be like, yeah, I'll run that back. Maybe a handful. But I also get it. Like, I'm not trying to diss it. I'm just saying it's not for me. What do you think, Jay?
As someone who is a huge fan of ELE2, this is disappointing.
Oh.
But once again, ELE2 was for me. Okay?
That's fair.
This was not... This is him trying to reach back and not be the old man in the club. And I get it.
Did he execute it, though?
No, I don't think he did. And I think as soon as I heard...
He's still going to be the old man in the club, regardless.
I mean, yeah.
He's the old man.
You know, but I remember I was concerned when I heard the joint with Coi Leray, and that was like kind of the...
I didn't need that.
I just thought, oh, I mean, I see what they were going for, but this isn't it.
Cringe.
Like, I would have much rather heard a remix of her song Bops with him on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that something like that would have went. But I'm listening to these records and I see what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
But the, you know, it's so hard because right now the energy is just so ratchet and so low down. And so, like, even when you do try to do quality club records, yeah, if it smacks of effort, it sounds crazy to say
it's
that.
It's almost like you try too
like,
hard, huh?
It's like, okay, you know, this isn't going to work.
Record with his kids is fire. Love that one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's,
fire.
It's the one and the one that we talked about with the baby and T-Pain. Yeah. Those stand out to me. But a lot of this other stuff, I'm like, yeah, this ain't it. You know, I listen to records for, you know, a couple of reasons. Like ELE was for me. Like, I listen because I want to hear the lyrics. I want to hear the production. Yeah. I want to hear something that makes me, you know, fall in love with hip hop again. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's what I got out of ELE too. This record, okay, I've heard him say what he was going for, and I looked at the playlist. I'm like, okay, or the features.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm looking for things that are going to work so I can freshen up the playlist in the club.
Feature heavy project, man, all the way down.
I'm hearing the attempts. It's a lot of swings and misses. And this is somebody who's from who's a Busta Rhymes fan, had ELE 2. Like, I think when I did my year end list was in the top five of that year that it came out. You know, so I know what Busta is capable of. And when I hear this, I'm just like, eh. And I understand he said he was in a different place when he made that record.
He did.
The world was going through some crazy changes at that time.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to do something that was a little bit more fun and more celebratory. And if anybody can pull that off, it's Busta. But I don't know. Maybe I got to listen to it again. You know what? I hate saying maybe I got to listen to it again, because
usually,
like,
you don't have to say that.
Yeah.
Right.
But not for a Busta Rhymes album. I can. OK, I'll just say it out loud. I'm a little disappointed in this record because what he's going for, I just didn't get. Like, there are some nice moments on the record, but not enough to kind of like swing me away from the times where I'm like, okay, you don't have to try this hard to reach back to the youth, if you will, because that, you know, at the same time, you are an elder statesman in hip hop.
Yeah.
And
very well, very respected.
And we don't need, I mean, like, I love what he says in the interviews. I love what he said when he was, you know, saying what leaders of the new school meant as not just the name of his group, but as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fantastic. And I think that's how the elder statesmen, like, you know, when we talked about a couple weeks ago, what was it, Eric Sermon and Master Ace had to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
You know, and we talked about that. And I think that the mindset that Busta has is the way we should be willing to embrace the youth.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, we can't pander to them to the point where we're off our square.
So that's where I think I would chime in. I didn't hear the project. I've been a Busta Rhymes fan. I've talked about that extensively on here. Maybe that gives my perspective a little bit of clarity, or a little bit of a unique perspective, because I haven't heard this project, because I'm not speaking from that angle.
Right.
I'm speaking just from the particular angle that Busta Rhymes shouldn't be trying, nobody should be trying to make records that aren't them. Now, you said that these are still his type of records.
When I listen to it, there are elements of him, maybe his younger self or his more energetic, you know, when he was, he always references leaders.
I think it's still him.
It's him.
I just
think something's not connecting with these
records.
It's
not,
from what you guys are saying, it's sounding like he's trying too hard to make another type of record that's going to appeal to a specific type of audience, rather than make a record that he wants to do and get those artists on his records. That's what it sounds like.
I think it's a little different. I think he actually meant well by making this project, and I think he actually is in that space to make the album, but it's just
execution.
Man, like, when you involve those three producers that I mentioned, and it sounds like it sounds.
So does this go back to prove me and Byron's point about
wow? Well,
I didn't look at the credits. I don't know who produced.
I'm looking at them right now, and by my count, Pharrell had two. I believe Swizz had two, and I think Timbo did the intro, and that's it. And there are 19.
But they're supposedly the executive producers of this album.
So they heard and approved all everything. Of this.
So it's a joint effort that is a joint. I don't want to say failure. But it just, to me, it's not hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll just say this, and maybe it doesn't factor into him particularly here, but I don't think that any artist that is like an elder statesman of what we would consider that as, and you're trying to reach the youth, I don't think the move is to try to make the youth's music. I think it's try to do you and bring the youth along with you.
It's the only way to do it.
And so if he is doing that, then cool. I haven't heard it. But if he's not doing that and he's more so trying to cater to what he thinks the audience wants to hear right now, I think he's going about it in the wrong way. So that's, but you know,
I wouldn't say that's, it's so and hard anybody, because
and
like,
any artist that does that
production wise, right. Definitely, because it has hit maker written all over it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's like, oh, I remember that beat.
If there's any validity to what Lone is talking about, where I'm following you, like, it seems like a reach, feels like a reach. The production, to Terry's point, that's where it is. It's still Busta on the records, but if you wanted to point out one specific part of it, it's 100% the production.
So the production's just not what it needs.
It's 100%.
He's always selected really good production across the board.
Man, I would agree. It's not even that the beats are bad. It's just not you want to hear Busta Rhymes rhyming over.
I'll be honest. I listened to this project, and when I was done with it, I was like, let me go back and listen to ELE 2. Because I just wanted to hear the Busta that I don't think people realize how good that record was. No,
ELE2 was fire.
Yeah. And I don't think
it was right on time.
It was right on time. People, you know, it was one of those records that was like we needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people listened to it in the way that they should have.
Yeah.
It was, when I revisited it, after listening to Blockbuster, which I just couldn't get into.
This doesn't sound like anything I would want to listen to.
You know, ELE 2, I was like, this is even better than I remember. It's only a couple years old, but it's aged well.
And he misled me with some of the videos that he was releasing. He'd be in the studio, he'd be this fire beat in the background.
He dropped that snippet with over that Dilla beat a few years ago, yeah. And that never came out.
And I was like, oh, so this is what type of time he's going to be on. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to pop out whenever he pops out again.
Man, they be selling us fools, Gog.
Let's talk Joey Crack.
Yes, sir.
Crack corn, I don't care.
So apparently, Joey Crack has been out here either capping, is what I'm hearing, or something might be coming down the pipeline, so he's trying to get himself squared away via interviews. Now, this doesn't make it, you know how the conspiracy theories are. There'll be a number cipher tomorrow and something else. But in the interview, he says, I've been rapping professionally for 30 years. I've lied in almost 95% of my songs. I'm being honest. I write like I feel that day. I'm just being creative. You couldn't build a jail high enough for the lyrics I've said on songs, which are all untrue. So when Fat Joe, who we're old enough to know his entire career, we've seen the early Pun days, Holding the Umbrella days, the first couple projects, Lean Back. We've seen the evolution of Fat Joe. Mm-hmm. How do you all take this with Fat Joe coming out to say this now? Because there are a ton, I'm not going to say people, you know, the perception when people say rappers are lying or it's cap or everything is entertainment and, you know, it's just to sell records. This, I don't know how this hits, man, because Joe is a very respected dude in hip hop. And I feel like there's something else behind this. Am I tripping?
I think I'll just jump in real quick. I think that it's probably, and I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the cases going on right now about, rap music and using lyrics and stuff like that, I think that maybe he's just trying to stand up and make a statement, regardless if there's anything coming down the line for him or not. I think he's just trying to preemptively say, well, I've done this too, so you're going to come after me? You know what I mean? So
bingo.
That would be my guess of this. I think it's just him trying to say that. But, you know.
There's been a lot of that. Like, what's his name? Prince Montana. Tana said that the Coke Boys stood for something else.
Yeah, I saw that.
What did he say?
It was something stupid.
Celebrating others.
Celebrating others. Entrepreneurs. Celebrating other.
Fat Joe said that his name was Joey Crack because his butt crack was show, and that's what the girls would call say. Him,
yeah. I mean, I could believe that.
I don't know. Man, thinking,
no, you know what? Because he wouldn't embrace that.
It has a lot to do with the Diddy butterfly effect is what's going on right now.
Why? I like that one.
Interesting. Yeah.
Except a lot of people are trying to distance themselves from the past.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
how does it make you feel, Jay? When you
how does it make you feel?
Tell me how you feel.
When I hear a rapper say, hey, I'm lying most of the time, I'm like, yeah, we know that. That's how I feel.
Okay.
You know.
So you saying he was capping. Oh, he's been capping the whole time, right?
You know, yeah.
Sure about that?
Yes. You know, you make it seem like you're some mafia leader. Uh-huh. No, Fat Joe, you make songs and make girls dance, all right? You are not that guy. Not that crime boss that is portrayed in your music. I never believed that.
You never believed
no.
The Fat Joe.
No.
You thought he was a dime.
I ain't say that.
He was an extra on Sopranos or something.
Like, no, I never believe that. I think
I'm just saying the dude that's holding the umbrella is different from the dude that does Lean Back.
No, first of all,
that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I love the song We Gonna Make It, but when he says, you know, my bathtub lift up and I got the same.
Walls do a 360.
No, they don't.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, they don't.
My stuff comes in, they use the scale they weigh the whales with.
No,
that's a dope bar though.
It is, but you can't talk about that.
If you were getting it like that, you would not talk about it.
You're not okay? going to talk about
you
it.
You are entertainers.
They got stuff the government's got.
Yeah, you go into a booth backed by a major corporation to make songs that can make people dance.
Yeah.
And words that rhyme. Let's not make it seem like this is the thing I hate about hip hop, where people feel like some sort of life of crime. This is the disservice. People like, okay, I'll just say it. People like Fat Joe have done to people who are not as bright out here. They feel like you have to be into a life of crime. That's your prerequisite. Just like you got to take certain classes to get into certain classes when you're in college. Yeah. Your prerequisite to get into hip hop and be seen as credible is you have to live a life of crime. And there are people who aren't that bright who feel like that's a real thing.
I can't argue with that.
I skipped some prerequisites.
Some people did live a life of crime, but a lot of them did not.
I would say 98%. I think 95%. You're selling yourself short.
I like the butterfly effect comment.
Yeah.
I like that
but
one.
But also,
I think Terry.
Maybe there's something to that, maybe.
I think I like the butterfly effect.
It's just funny how all of this is just coming out all of a sudden.
I mean, I don't think it's even relevant, though, because...
That's what I'm saying. It's not relevant. So. Like, why else would you be talking about it right now, though?
Isn't that random? Even that's super
Fresh
random,
Montana
right?
is directly connected to Puffy. Mm. Oh, you know what I'm saying? He's directly connected.
He's on Bad Boy
South.
Exactly. He's directly connected with him. A week or so ago, during this... Young Thug trial, when they're saying what Young Thug stands for.
Oh, that, no, I didn't buy that one. I didn't buy
YSL
that.
YSL stands for.
But I think that's what this is in relevance to.
Yeah.
That's what
but
I think.
I think there's a lot of correlation in it somewhere.
I think it's also a lot of rappers getting older and they realized it's time for a rebrand. And if I'm going to be in certain spaces and have corporate opportunities, I have to move a little bit different. You know, if I'm going to give Bill Clinton some Air Force Ones and hang out with Kamala Harris and I want to reap the rewards of what that means, then I have to distance myself from some of the foolishness that I thought was part of my brand as a youth, or just not even as a youth. Might have been 10 years ago.
I like it that these cats have made it with these names, but what made them come up with these names to run with? Like, I think Yo Gotti's probably next. He's about to come up with a different name for CMG.
Yeah, it's gonna
church music good. Church music great. It's probably be something like that.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, Pushing P. I posted this. I didn't even realize it. Terry mentioned it. Forgot about it. Pushing P. The lawyer says pushing positivity.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I knew that was coming. Yeah.
And he said Thug. The Thug and Young Thug means truly humbled under God.
And the thing is, I've heard that there was
truly humbled under God while moving these packs.
Yeah, there was because I remember there was a rapper named Kid Money or something. Like I remember that whole, you know, truly humble under God. That's an old acronym I saw in like the source maybe 25, 30 years ago. So it's like you just thug life. I understand you want to get out of jail. I don't. I, you know, whatever you do, good to get out of jail. Hey, and his, all these lawyers that you paying, tell them to say whatever they got to say.
His lawyer is the GOAT for pulling that one out the sky. I don't know if it's gonna land, but he's the GOAT for even trying to put that one together. Hey, pushing luck. Positivity.
Good luck.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, a lot of look, just like sometimes someone. I remember like LL Cool J's original name was like. Something like it had the name Ski in it. It was like mm-hmm. Ski Love or J Ski or whatever it is. It didn't stick because someone pulled him to the side and said, "Hey," because a lot of times people threw that Ski in there or Coke.
It was something. Drug reference.
Yeah, it was drug references because this is when people thought that cocaine was fly, so you had to have some money to do with cocaine. So Joe Ski Love or Cool Rock Ski, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, that's where the Ski comes from.
That's what never you know. You know, anytime
ski on deck, man.
Yeah,
ski.
No, let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
But yeah, so I mean, like I said, a lot of times people didn't think this they were going to be in this. Do you think Fat Joe really thought he was still going to be rapping 30 years later?
That's actually a good question.
You know, so like
Fat Joe actually became a.
He didn't think he was going to have to do a rebrand.
He became a. What kind of speaker is that where you go motivational speaker at one point in time? Y'all remember that era? Like them Tony
TED
Robbins.
TED Talks and all that. Things. Yeah, he was.
Like touring.
Y'all don't remember that? He toured as a speaker.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Like, and don't get me wrong. I met Fat Joe one time. He was really cool to everybody.
He slap you?
No, he didn't slap me.
I didn't know if he was to Don
Carter. He was in my city. He wasn't going to be slapping.
I didn't know which version you meant.
No.
I know Jay Smacker. I don't disrespect Jay Martin. Jay Martin get slapped.
Yeah, if you just smacked me, it would have been a problem.
Yeah, I know it. Remember, I know it.
We were not in the Bronx.
It was some. I think some of it was probably legit because him and 50 was beefing for a while.
When I read it, I tried not to laugh, but I just was.
And I get in a way. I like
this has to be. This has to be. Getting ahead of,
I thought, or maybe it's just like
that's what came to my mind. Alone,
I thought it was just a joke.
I thought it was. I'm just gonna cover my ass. Is what I thought. I literally thought, let's go ahead and get it out there and get ahead of it. Just like you said, just in case.
I don't think it mattered. No, but my thing was literally just trying to build some precedence around it for the other cases and stuff like that because it is kind of nonsense, you know, that you can use rap lyrics. In general, or stuff like this.
Oh, the fact that you can they can use it in court.
Yeah, without a ton of context.
Yeah, but I look, man, I get it. Fat Joe, I'm not even mad at you for this because, you know, you got more time, you know, behind you than you got in front of you. And you want to live your life in a certain
carefree
situation to where you don't want to be. Look, you are in a situation where you understand, hey, my money comes from corporate America.
Yeah.
Okay. And anything that keeps me from getting that corporate money, I need to distance myself from. And the thing is, because a lot of rappers, like, they don't see, you know, if you're 25 and you're getting it, you don't. And unfortunately, just because of how the streets have become so much a part of the hip hop, people don't see themselves being 50 years old and having to, you know, like when people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm getting money right now and I'm living, you know, I need some. You understand, you got maybe 4 years. Everybody's not going
to window.
Nobody's even going to be Fat Joe. You know, nobody thinks so far into the future that they think you're not. A lot of them don't even know they're not going to be able to do this forever. And so they're like, you know, I'm just going to be who I am right now. And people are going to have to deal with it. I'm going to get as much money as possible. And then if you're smart, you understand that once the industry's done with you, hopefully I've saved up enough money to where I can still live. You know, but once you've made it past a certain point, someone like Fat Joe, unfortunately, you know, somebody like Diddy probably should have thought about this a little bit more. 50 Cent, you know, like these people see themselves as actual ambassadors of the culture.
Right.
And corporate citizens. And so 50 is nowhere as reckless and wild as he was when he first came out. You know why? Because he's got 4 and 5 television shows.
He's still wild and reckless.
He's wild.
Not like he was,
but,
though.
You know, but like he knows who to talk.
I think he's kind
he knows
of
who
the
to
same.
Talk crazy to and who not
I,
to.
I honestly think that 50 is
you think he's the same
I
as
think
he was
he's the same
to get rich or die trying 50.
I mean, he was rapping about what had already happened. He wasn't out here stabbing and shooting and getting in fights with people.
No,
he was definitely still trolling. The first time I seen 50 Cent was here at Club Mecca when he was performing when Get Rich or Die Trying first came out, and it wasn't, it was pretty much just gaining esteem. So he was doing a club tour.
That's crazy.
They start fighting. He stopped the music. He was like, nah, let him fight. So he still was trolling. Let him fight. He's like, I love that. He's laughing at it. They get them up out of here. He starts the show again. You know what I'm saying? So
he must have had the best security that night.
I was about to say, yeah.
Man, 50 has been the troll of the century ever since he came out. And I think he's been about the same. I don't think he's swayed or let down at all, honestly.
But he knows exactly where to troll, when to troll, and how to troll. Not mess up his corporate.
He's a master troll. Just like with this whole Diddy situation.
He on his head.
Hey, you need to go ahead and sell it to me. He's calling out who's sponsoring him. This is the type of stuff that 50's doing. Because he knows if people know that these are the sponsors, they going to lose money. So they going to end up bagging out, which is going to drop the price. 50 Cent is out here playing chess with folks, man.
But none of this has anything to do with changing your name from Joey Crack or the Coke Boys or anything like that. Like,
50, nah.
It's a completely different conversation.
It's about having a rebrand and understanding that, you know, the things that you thought were cool and what you could sell in the 90s isn't particularly what you can sell in 2000, going into 2024. If you are somebody that's 50 years old and you're trying to make your way in these corporate boardrooms and you want to get that long.
I think it's about money.
Capitalism. It's about capitalism.
I don't think capitalism cares what their name is as long as it's making money.
I don't think what he's done in the past has any relevance on what's going on right now.
Because it was all fake anyway.
I mean, look at these artists that we're talking about. Fat Joe, he's backtracking on things of that nature. I don't think it has anything to do with leak going forward as far as being able to get more people to put money behind him. I don't think he really needs that.
I don't think it, like, Joey Crack isn't even his name. You know, it's Fat Joe.
I mean, but he goes but by Joey Crack.
Yeah, but he's known as Fat Joe. That's his corporate name. It's not Joey Crack.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be first. That's definitely first.
Yep. That's a nickname to his stage name.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. And yeah.
It's an alias.
And Killer Mike didn't change his name.
No. He didn't.
You know what I mean?
They were going to try to switch it up.
He tried by Mike Render like 10 years ago.
Or like Mike, you know, Mike or, Bigga. Or Mike Bigga.
But that was like 10, 15 years ago.
It was like, no, man, just
stay. But ever since he's been making his newer, no, he stood on it. He was like, no, I'm Killer Mike because I kill microphones.
And we saw the evolution of Killer Mike. As Killer Mike, like he said, it stayed that way the whole time.
Yeah, I would rather Joe and all these dudes call it Joey Crack because whatever it is, like, you know, you don't need to change them unless it really does mean Joey Crack because the girls used to make fun of me because I bend over. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
I laugh when I read it.
So if it's true, cool. You know, like,
but Coke Boys. I was like,
you can't get around that.
We
really like Coca Cola.
Coke on the mixtapes.
Yeah,
it's like,
go back and look at some of them covers and some of the artwork and stuff on
there. Guys in jail right now.
Yeah, it's
over that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
Yeah, only sold my intelligence, man. With some of these, like, come on now.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
We're back. Welcome back to the New Old Heads.
Yeah, man.
My name is Sean, and I'm pretty cool sometimes. Other times I'm not, but you don't have to know about that.
All righty.
We're your friends, buddy. We like both versions.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
So what was Diddy trying to buy?
NBC. I was like
I knew you was going to say that.
No, it's just like, it's a running joke. Every time somebody get into trouble,
what does the N stand for?
Are you serious?
Hey, man, get your people, man. Get your.
I have a show, but I can't sell it.
Jay Moore, get your man.
Hold on. Can you be ready for the
beat? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Buying channels.
Y'all are terrible.
Yo, Hey, that mug do fit though. That mug do fit though, Terry. I'm sorry,
that breaks all my rules, but yeah. I'm sorry I had to get that joke off.
That's what, one you get one of you.
Yeah. And she was searching for the big black, not only for herself, but for somebody else who we all know that was in the room with her.
It's yeah. terrible.
Said, what is the N stand for?
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jay Moore, that's your one for the year, bro. That's your one for the year, bro.
That's my one for this entire 360-something. Yeah,
everybody get one a year, man. That's your one.
Y'all know my rule about saying the N word.
I know.
In front of white people and in front of on stage. So, but I had to get that one off. I'm sorry.
He asked me if he could say it.
Bro. I was like, you got to do the editing.
I appreciate it.
You know what? That means you care. Can I, before I say this, and then say
he had to ask the white man, could he say the N word?
The white man just happened to be editing the show, and I know I'm making more work for the white man, so I had to.
Yo, nah,
this is terrible.
This is terrible.
It really
this is terrible. This is
awful.
Thank God we love our brother Long. But this is terrible.
Well, at least we know what the enemy is now.
Yeah. The wrong.
Wasn't quite my acronym.
A novice to the show is going to be very uncomfortable watching this live. I'll say that. Shout out to Gene Deal, I guess. Shout out to the sponsors.
Hey, Patreons, we need you more than ever.
$3.
Up that
$3
level.
Holla. You can up get all this level. Content. Yeah.
Shouts to our new patrons. We've gotten, I think, 3 since our last show. Shouts to, or maybe 2. We got 2.
2 or 3. We appreciate you.
We 2, yeah. Shouts to Sam and shouts to, I forget the other dude's name, but yeah.
Sam, we see you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. All right, man, let's talk Louisiana in 3 stacks. Wayne was disappointed in, you remember when Andre 3000, you know, he had that incredible interview at the laundromat, I believe it was, for GQ. He talked about he didn't know what he could rap about at 48. There's nothing else to talk about, or he didn't want to talk about it. I think he used like colonoscopy. Yeah, remember y'all? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think I was out that week.
You think?
But I think, I don't know, I couldn't even remember really.
Big with declaratives.
I was in a different vibe. I'll just say that. But Wayne said he was disappointed when he heard that. And he says that he has plenty of stuff to talk about at 41, I believe, Wayne.
What is Wayne talking about, though?
And he also said...
Ever.
But he also said that, because, you know, Dre alluded to the type of music that's out. And, you know, he said this before. He said it with Rick Rubin. Outdated. Like, he feels like he's the dinosaur or whatever. And Wayne says he blocks out everything because of that. So he just makes what he wants to make and ignores everything else. But what jumped out to me about Wayne is what Lone says. What are you actually talking about?
You're not on the same content level that Andre is. We're not making that comparison.
No, we can't do that.
Not on this show.
Depends on who you're talking to.
Not on this show.
He's never been on the same content.
No,
not content wise.
No, not about what he talks
Wayne
about.
Wayne nice though, no. But
Wayne's a different type of rapper. You know, it's just what it is.
Yeah,
I don't listen to Lil Wayne and expect to hear some deep
introspective.
Introspective thing about Kanye's mom. You know what I mean? Or
so it's easier for him. It's easier for him to pull from something at an older age because it's not as deep or
it's not as personal.
Not as personal. Okay.
Unless it's like a, you know, substituted in some type of metaphor that simile that you can't. Andre is very much an artist, and he's literally bearing himself when he's out here talking about this stuff. I think it's different.
Andre is to Wayne's point. Wayne is still involved. And on the scene and a lot of this stuff. Andre is removed.
Completely.
Completely. You know what I'm saying?
To the point to where people don't even notice him.
Exactly. So this kind of goes back to the whole artist thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have surges in their artistry and then they go dormant for a long time. Then they have a resurgence. They have a period of time where they're doing the greatest thing ever again. And then they fall off. I mean, that's kind of what artists do.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
Over time, that's what artists do. Wayne is heavily involved with everything. I mean, he's on First Take, or what is it,
Undisputed.
Undisputed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, once or twice a week?
Skip.
Has the intro song and is on there on Fridays, I believe.
He's out here. He's doing interviews. He's being seen. He's not the same kind of artist. You know what I'm saying? When I think of an artist, I'm even thinking about like back in the day, like people that would go through periods of times like drawing artists, where they did this whole series of this is what it looks like, and then they stopped, and then they reemerged and do something totally different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Wayne's kind of done the same thing his entire career,
kinda, but he's never went away. Mm-hmm. He's always been there.
That's the part.
You know what I'm saying? So like, he's not. He talks about how he doesn't listen or pay attention to anything. He's still soaking it up as a sponge, regardless if he's listening to it or not.
By default,
because he's still around.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So even if he's not checking for whoever's latest music and stuff like that, and he says he just goes and does his own thing, he's still a sponge out here, essentially.
Yeah.
Soaking it up.
I mean, it's hard, to your point, it's hard to avoid that when you're still leading the Colorado Buffaloes out. Like, he's everywhere. Like, Wayne is everywhere.
I mean, Dre's been walking around city, wherever he's at, playing his flute for years now. Nobody ever thought he was about to make an album out of the flute, but true. I mean, this is his headspace. This is what he feels like doing.
Yeah.
So what you can't be mad at him for saying that I don't have any raps right now.
Yeah.
Because that's just not where he's at.
The fan in me got a little upset, just a tad.
I mean, of course.
I'm just talking about one particular part. I love that he's being an artist and embracing who he is and likes walking around. I'm not tripping off that. Dre don't owe me nothing. But I did get mad a little bit when he said they still sending me beats. Because in my mind, I'm like, he might have something. He said people think he's sitting on raps. I'm that person. I'm naive. I'm like, man, I know he got, you know, he got something he's sitting on.
I don't know. To me, he just seems like the person that's super dope, that when something strikes him, he can just sit down and he can write it.
And it's going to be dope.
And that's just what it is. Like, I don't think he's sitting on anything. I really don't.
He's got to be influenced. He has to be inspired.
Yeah.
Like, he did the dope stuff on Killer Mike's album.
Man.
He did the dope stuff on Kanye's album.
True.
But these are all inspirational pieces. So he has an outline that somebody's giving him. Okay, this is what the song's going to be about. Okay, I can put myself in that moment.
For sure.
Plug and play.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not like, hey, let's make this record about rap snacks.
Exactly.
You know, and just rap and rhyme words. You know, like, he's never really been that. He's done it kind of a little bit, but he's never really been that artist. And Wayne has, I don't think Wayne has ever, don't get me wrong, I'm not even trying to trash on Wayne. Wayne is nice. Wayne is just not that type of artist. He's not that type of lyricist. He's, you know, like,
Wayne is still a product.
He's still kind of like he's a simile rapper. Mm-hmm. You know, like he drops
Wayne
similes.
Wayne is kind of a rapper's rapper. You know, somebody can always rap.
I think MCs really, I think a lot of MCs, to Terry's point, look at him as a rapper's rapper. Tell just he can, lyrically,
he can get on the song he got now with Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
He goes off on that track.
Yeah.
I ain't even like that song, but he did go off. Mm-hmm. He went off. I don't know, Lone. I think a lot of people look at Wayne as, you know, if you hear elite MCs talk, you always hear people say, man, that boy Lil Wayne.
It depends on Wayne what they're talking about.
See, this is the thing, too, because
I don't really agree.
You have to differentiate the different types of rappers.
Right.
True.
So Wayne is able to do it at a professional level at any given time. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean he's the lyricist's favorite. He's just somebody that can rap when he needs to rap.
He can come in and he can snap. He can do do all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, and he's been coming out and he's been dropping a lot of dope verses on a lot of guest features.
Agreed.
He has, but there's levels to it. You know what I mean? And as a rapper's rapper, like, I don't know.
You can say the same thing about J. Cole. J. Cole is a rapper's rapper.
I think J. Cole's way more rapper's rapper than Wayne is.
In our opinion.
Yeah. And me as a rapper. As a rapper, when I think of like people that I'm like, that are super dope at stuff that I've done for a very long time, like Wayne's like,
I'm not mad at that.
A lot of his stuff's kind of corny.
But a lot of people look up to Wayne.
I'm not mad at that.
Or revere Wayne the same way we do J. Cole. And they don't even like J. Cole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that is a huge amount of people.
I guess all I'm saying is they can be wrong, because like that, to me, they're different. Like, they're different types of MCs.
That's what I'm saying.
And like J. Cole is very much in the realm of a he's more so in the realm of an Andre than he is in a Wayne, but there there is crossover there, and especially on their features.
Glad you said that.
And I, again, this is not to bash Wayne.
No,
it's not Wayne, what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, like, there's a distinct difference in Wayne, and Wayne has got a lot of throwaways to me, and a lot of stuff that I've heard.
His last project was a throwaway to me.
Actually,
the one with him and 2 Chainz ain't bad.
Really, I've never hated Wayne, but he's never been like. He's never somebody, even specifically as an MC, that I look up like, man, he's a rapper's rapper. Like, he's far from it to me. Like, he's not somebody I look at and I'm like, man, I wish I could do what he did. Like, he's not that. Andre has stuff like that. Cole has stuff. Kendrick has stuff like that. Kendrick less than Cole, in my opinion, because Kendrick is more the whole artist aspect of everything. But
he's more cut from that cloth.
Dre does stuff that nobody does, though.
Oh, I can't argue with you there.
So, I mean,
but I just think, like, we talk about the, you know, the hiatus stuff. Kendrick will go away.
Yeah. Well, he's more of an artist than an MC to me. Like, I mean, he's a good MC.
I would agree.
But, like, to me, his strength isn't, like, just, like,
it's pure just lyrical MC, potency.
You know, like, he's not going to give you that. I think Cole's going to give you more of that.
Yeah.
But I think there's crossover in what Cole and Kendrick do a little bit. Because,
prime example, I think with lyrically, the way Cole approaches records, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick's discography, I'm going to pick 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely.
Every single time.
Yeah.
He makes great records.
It's like Royce used to be like that too. Royce will get you on a record, but then he developed into a really great songwriter.
True.
And a really great, you know, all those things.
I mean,
Lupe's a rapper's rapper.
There
Royce
we go.
Is a rapper's rapper.
Elzai is a rapper's rapper.
You know, like, they're doing things that, like, rappers can't do. You know what I mean? Wayne, I don't know.
I think there's a section of people that would say Wayne. No,
I'm sure there's a section of people.
I'm with Terry on that.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people.
I don't think
that
there's a wrong answer. Well, that's the thing about it is I don't think there's a wrong answer because everybody's into different pockets of things. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that me personally think Wayne is like my rapper's rapper, but like somebody that holds a lot of people's attention. And a lot of people looked up to and are rapping right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne is their GOAT.
I am not disagreeing with that at all. I'm just saying that their standards are too low.
Yeah.
that's it. And, you know, like, if from a rapper standpoint, because Wayne has an immense amount of children out here.
Oh, my
also,
God.
That also rap that have no type of depth to them as at all. Wayne doesn't have depth in his raps.
Nah.
He's super dope, but he doesn't really have a lot of depth in there.
Jump in there, Jay.
I mean, I'm wrong.
No, I mean, and I've said this before. There's a difference between being an artist and being a product. And there are a lot of people who are products who think they're artists. Sometimes, you know, you are a product that is an artist.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like Lil Wayne, I get it. He's still somebody. I don't think he has to rap to eat.
No,
but he's in a position to where this is still something to where he feels like, okay, I still have an expectation that I have to fulfill.
I like that.
Wayne does not have that
for sure.
Uh-huh.
That's the point. And you know, there are only a few artists that like at this point, Jay-Z does not have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he never puts out another, like, you know, now there's this whole rumor that he might be putting out another album because of, you know, with the whole thing with the Brooklyn Library or whatever, you know,
would be a great time to do it.
He basically, the commemorative thing was like, okay, there's a library card for every album that he's ever put out, and then there's a blank space. Like, that's got people kind of like, oh, what's coming next? But Jay doesn't rap to eat. Jay raps to say the things that he wants to say at this point. He's not thinking about, okay, I got to do this for West Coast sales. I got to do this for the strip club. I got to do this for, contemporary hits radio. That's not a part of his process.
Yeah.
You know,
it must feel good to be.
I don't even think Jay's a rapper.
Yeah. So,
whoa.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
that's almost blasphemous.
But what I'm saying,
even he said it on a record.
Yeah.
He might have said it.
Whoa.
But even with when we talk about not having anything to say, it's kind of, you know, honestly, look, Dre, if you rapped about getting a colonoscopy, do you know how incredible that would be and how impactful it would be? Not that you have that rap in your repertoire right now, but when you say you don't have it, when you make that should be what you're rapping about. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be rapping about your life experience. You could rap about playing the flute in laundromats, and yeah, we'd listen to that. It'd probably be flyer than 95% of what we got going on out here.
I'm gonna listen.
You know, yeah. I think it's in his own way. I don't want him to encourage people to say that there's a cap or something where, you know, at a certain point in your life, you can't rap about the streets, going to the strip club, driving cars and meeting stripper and messing with women that you will never love, like that you don't have anything to rap about anymore. Like, that's what I love about Fonte, is like, because we're roughly the same age. And the fact is, the entire time I've been a fan of his, he's rapped about where basically I was as a man.
Yep.
You know, the things that I've thought about. And because, like, he's not this, he doesn't live in a world of fantasy like a lot of rappers live in, like Lil Wayne lives in. Essentially, he's living a fantasy. Like, that's why I can relate. You know, when he said on Charity Starts at Home, talking about how, like, you know, why did you fire me when, you know, you knew this project was going to be defunded? I've been in that place.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that we can't, I don't, and I'm, that's why I'm, you know, for, the up and downs and where we've had to say about Nas's last six projects, and which majority of which we have liked. And I think that's despite what people have said about our criticisms of said albums. It's like, I like that there's a guy who's 50 years old that still has things, but he's not rhyming about the block. He's rhyming about brunch on Sundays. He's rhyming about his investments. He's rhyming about his daughter being grown. That's what you're supposed to rap about when you're at this place in your life.
Right.
Yeah. So I understand maybe that itch, whatever that thing that drives Andre to rhyme, isn't there. But to say that you don't have anything to rap about, trust me, whatever you're going through in life, you know, going to see your kid play college football, rap about that. You know, like I said, going to the doctor, making, you know, having to deal with the fact we're losing our parents and we're becoming the elders in our families. Like, those are things that if you rapped about, you'd realize there are a lot more people that can relate to that than the people who are rapping about standing on top of couches at, you know, at nightclubs, because that's not, like I said, that's the fantasy of being black in America. The things that, yeah, you know, you talked about that you, why would anybody want to hear that? Like, that's the real stuff.
I think a lot of it has to do beyond that surface level, or beyond that, beyond just like not having anything to talk about. I think a lot of it also has to come from a place of not wanting to add your own voice to something on top of it. Mm. It's kind of what I spoke on a couple weeks ago about not wanting to add noise. I think that's also a major part of it too. I could be wrong.
Not wanting to add noise.
Not wanting, it's not just about not having anything to write about. It's also about not necessarily wanting to add your perspective on top of it, or feeling like your perspective is super valuable. It probably would be valuable coming from him, but he probably just doesn't want to add, probably doesn't feel the desire to add his additional voice on top of everything else that's going on right now. And there's just a lot of noise in general. So if he's already an somebody that excludes himself from a lot of things and gets out of the way, then I can see that. You know what I mean? Like, I think you guys are making points. Like, there's always stuff to rap about, but for him specifically, like, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't. If it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah. It's almost selfish of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, honestly.
It is.
Because we very selfish. We want him to rap.
Yeah.
And Wayne wants him to rap too. That's why he's saying that.
For sure.
Because he's a fan.
He's a fan of him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what Andre is saying is what's on his heart. He don't feel like doing it right
and
now.
And I respect it. I respect it as a creative, I respect it.
And I don't buy into or even accept the argument that he's like lying.
Oh, nah. He's lying about what he's saying.
Like,
I don't buy that.
People are like, oh, you're just
nah.
I don't buy into that at all. It's like, why would he lie?
Yeah. Comes because off completely authentic to me.
Because he could rap.
Yeah. Circles around everybody.
He doesn't have to put out a flute album.
Nope.
That's what he wanted to do. That's what was on his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't mind.
Actually think it's dope.
Kind of offensive, actually.
I actually think that it's dope that, now correct me if I'm wrong, anybody in the chat, but he said that he wants to tour with this. Didn't he mention that? Or am I tripping?
I didn't see that part. I didn't watch the interview, though. So.
Okay. Maybe I'm tripping. I thought he said he might pop out. I bet that sold out.
No, to me, the album sounded like,
who's going to go to a meditation concert, man? I don't know.
Be surprised, Long.
I know people are going to go to it. I'm saying, who's going to really want to go to it outside of the fact? If it was John who lives around the corner making a flute out, nobody's going to it. They're only going because Andre. And number one, Andre doesn't want to tour anyways.
It sounded like it was improv anyway, so I don't think he's going to be able to redo this album.
I mean, have you... I mean, do you remember him talking about like all the stuff of like the Outkast and him not wanting to go on stage and not wanting to tour? Like, you think he's going to tour a flute album?
No.
All I remember hearing is him saying that he might pop out.
He's not.
You don't even know. He just heard it from people again.
No, this ain't people. He's not popping out. I don't think this is people, but I could be
that's
wrong.
That's why I had to go to the last Outkast concert, because I was like, Andre,
I never see him again.
He's not doing this again.
He'll do a pop-up shop show at the Melody Inn or something.
Man.
Hey, that's actually on brand for him. And it'll be like 25 people in there, and then he'll just dip out and go home.
Yeah.
I can see that.
As soon as people start posting it on Instagram.
Ruin everything. Yeah. Bone to pick with you, man. Let's go back real quick. Just real quick. And I know
there's a lot of people that would say that Jay-Z is a rapper. Man. I'm not even gonna argue with it. I'm not even gonna argue with it. Because I can see that yes, it would be, but granted, maybe like 20 some years ago or something like that. But I don't know, man. When I think of like rapper, I legitimately think about,
is Jay Electronica a rapper's rapper?
He's a fans rapper.
Fans rapper.
I would say
now we start
rapper.
Now we get into levels. Look, fans rapper.
He could be.
Yeah, I can see that.
I know what you mean when you say that.
I feel like Jay could be as well. And I know that Jay is for a lot of people.
Now the names that we ran off, I think nail it. We talked about Elzai, Royce. Who else we mentioned?
There's certain there's certain rappers that never will acquire a certain amount of success because they won't compromise the style of what they do.
I agree.
And I feel like Jay-Z found a good balance between that to a degree. But if I'm going to sit here and like say that he's like super, maybe his early stuff was super technical with the way that he's doing his rhymes. But after that, I mean, he's just a good rapper that has relatable content, and he got spiraled up to, he was like the biggest, best rapper at the peak of what he was at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For all the love that Jay-Z gets, which he deserves a lot of it.
I don't like where this is going.
No, I'm going to, because I'm about to tell the truth. Jay-Z has one album where he's 100% artist and not product. Because when you, okay, what was
that
album? 444.
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say 444.
444. That's the only album where he's like, I'm doing this as a complete artistic expression. This is coming from the heart.
You think Reasonable Doubt is a product album?
Yes, there are singles on there.
Well, I mean, you can still have a single.
You can have a single and not have a product album.
I still think that there are marketing intentions behind that. Mm. When I think about, what was it, Holy Grail? That's probably that's
Magna Carta.
That was all about that money.
That's
a product album.
That's all product.
That was a Samsung product album.
Even Volume One, which you got Sunshine, you got records like that. I still don't even know.
You belong to the city. I know what girls like. This.
I don't even. Yeah. There's so much meat potatoes on the records.
It was leading up to it. Number three is definitely a product album. The third album, Hard Knock Life.
That's a product album.
I would say the closest thing.
I don't think the Blueprint is a product.
No. That's where you're like starting to get a little bit of vulnerability.
It's too much meat and potatoes on the Blueprint. Yeah.
Okay. So I take that back. I would say the Blueprint for like there's just too much. I mean, it just happened to hit. Because honestly, when you listen to Blueprint compared to, and you look at what
American Gangster ain't a product album.
Nope. You look at what's around it, it's tied to a movie.
It's tied to a movie.
It's not a product album, though.
It's not a product album. It's very cinematic, though. It's not a product in the sense of.
What were the singles on that record?
Like being this pop.
Blue Magic.
Popular
Rock
rap
Boys. Week. I know.
America's Gangster?
No.
No, the movie, American Gangster.
That's
the
singer.
Because he said he seen the movie and it inspired him to make an album immediately. So I think that was kind of
and then Puffy came in and got fake executive producer credits.
And I'm pretty sure you guys are all bigger Jay-Z fans than I am. Like I think Jay-Z's talented and all that stuff, but I give him his props, but that's kind of where it stops.
So I see what you did there.
Man, I see what you did right there.
He's up there. But
so I do take that back. I say the Blueprint is a very personal album.
Yeah, man. Now volume two was Terry said Hard Knock. Definitely.
Yeah, that's all that's product.
That's a product. That's a
if you take away all of his success, Jay-Z's not the GOAT. My opinion.
I mean, if you take away all his success, I mean,
if you take away the accolades,
and focus on the skill set,
just strictly skill set.
If you just put the CDs on the table,
he was also,
he's got a lot of misses on CDs.
Jay got some gaps in his discography. Oh yeah,
he got a lot of classics. We ain't even got to pull them up.
We don't have to.
We ain't got to pull them up. But I'm just saying
because everybody listening knows what we're talking.
Yeah, everybody
about.
Knows what we're talking about. The first commercially successful album, right. Hard Knock Life, to me was my least favorite at the time. A lot of people really loved that album. Mm-hmm. To me, I was like, I'm cool on that. I don't ever listen to it again.
Look, it's the same way. Like to me, when I listen to Hard Knock Life, is Terminator 2 a really fun movie to watch?
Yeah,
it's definitely not as good as Terminator 1.
Nah,
when they were basically just. It was more. The story was better.
Right.
The special effects weren't as big. The explosions weren't as big.
Yeah, but the story was good.
But Terminator 1 is a superior movie to Terminator 2. It's just the explosions were bigger and the special effects were better. But at the core,
I like.
And that's why I say
I like 2 myself.
Terminator 2 was really good.
Yeah, Terminator 2 was really good.
I like 2 myself.
But the first Terminator is, that's a classic.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've always felt this way about Jay.
It's consistent. Yeah.
I've always felt that he's super talented and I like a lot of what he does, but I also, a lot of the stuff, like, I think he gets, his stuff is just super hyped because he's Jay-Z. You know, like, I don't know for a fact that Jay-Z would be Jay-Z if Biggie was still alive.
Man, I don't know about that.
Now, see, this is the thing, we're getting somewhere.
A lot of people still don't rock with Jay-Z. Like you're saying that you think he wouldn't be this guy. If you go down south, they got all kind of videos and stuff to how they don't really rock with Jay-Z like that.
You heard Boosie.
I know that, though.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I think Jay-Z would have been as big, if not bigger, because him and Big were about to do an album together.
Yeah. Now, the commission was going to change the landscape.
Right.
I agree with that. But Lone has a point, because if you pluck Tupac and you pluck Biggie away,
it was a gap.
That opens a path to the
I'm not saying Jay wouldn't be nice.
I'm not saying that.
The path that was opened up when they were out of the way, he did seize the moment.
But Jay-Z did do Reasonable Doubt when Biggie and Pac
and it's
still
a masterpiece to me.
He did.
It's a masterpiece to
so
me.
So maybe Jay,
but it took, you know, it you, took the longest to actually go platinum too.
But we could have those conversations about people who weren't in the game. Like, you might be able to say, if Pac was still here and maybe Ja Rule would have been left in the dust, we wouldn't have found out.
Yeah, I mean, it's all hypothetical, but I think there's more of a correlation to Jay-Z and Biggie because of the type and their styles were so similar as well.
Subject matter, content.
Biggie was the shiny suit rapper.
I think they were.
Jay-Z was not the shiny, even on Puff Daddy's album.
I feel like Biggie was about to put Jay in the same position. I mean, Jay is on a life after death. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like he's setting him up.
What song is he on? He's on No Way Out too. Yeah, but those aren't the songs that we go to. Maybe it's not the ones that I go to. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And when I say I go to, I just mean like when I think of that album and the impact that it had.
Yeah.
It's not the Jay-Z albums, even on No Way Out.
You know, Big song, is on Jay-Z's cold, for though. Us
I'm
on.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I think he might have been.
Maybe.
I just personally believe that there was a lane that opened up, and to Jay's credit, he seized the moment. He capitalized and took care of business.
I mean, I've heard the same argument. Someone said, well, you know, if Aaliyah was here, where would Beyonce be? I was like, Beyonce was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all,
she was already here.
I can't vouch for that, you got to understand, they were
out at the same time. Out at the same time, but they were both famous and selling records at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one.
Dangerously in Love came out around the same time that Aaliyah's last album, right?
Yeah.
Dang, is that true?
Yes.
Has it been that? Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Gotta remember, Beyonce at this point has been famous for like 30 years.
True.
Exactly. I had to tell somebody that on Thanksgiving because they was like, Beyonce's not old school. I'm like, actually, she is.
Look, she was on The Smart Guy.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah, but again, when we talk about certain types of success, right?
Uh-huh.
Not everybody can get to Jay-Z where Jay-Z is at right now. Like,
mm-hmm. I agree.
It does take a special talent. It takes a special persona. But it also takes, like, the machine to want to get behind you. And Biggie was that machine. I don't care what you say. Biggie was the shiny suit rapper at that point in time. He was that. He was on all those records, and he may have been pushed. Maybe he gets pushed up.
He said he wasn't doing no more shiny suit stuff. I can't even talk.
Yeah.
Shiny suit stuff.
Yeah. There we go.
He said it was a wrap. Like, he wasn't doing it no more because he was tired of people biting the style. Mm. He's pretty much like, y'all ain't getting no more Versace rap. Y'all ain't
getting
no
he was about to pivot.
It's about to be on some different stuff, but I mean.
But what if Reasonable Doubt is on Def Jam instead of Profile and it's pushed a different way?
There you go.
You
know,
here we go.
There's a difference between the machines at that time, even when you're talking, you know, and I could get deep into how when radio was deregulated and how things were pushed on the radio and the difference in who had record reps and who didn't.
But that's not, they didn't have Diddy.
Nah. I think Jay was going to do what he was going to do, man.
Maybe. I think Jay-Z would still be here.
Oh, he's definitely
going to be here. I absolutely think Jay would still be here.
But the Jay that we know today,
I don't know.
It's debatable. Debatable.
But you know, Beyonce had come on home? I don't know.
But you know, once again, like,
man, she was messing with the little immature dude before that. So
dang, you gonna play him like that?
But once again,
y'all gonna say I mean?
What if we look you know, he makes it out of L.A. that night, and he puts out a couple more records on Bad Boy. It goes left, and then all of a sudden, Biggie is on
very
Koch.
Possible.
That's possible too.
And then with Keith Murray and then all of a sudden you look up and Tupac is gone into Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Like he winds up, you
that's
know,
possible. Tupac is Will Smith,
or he winds up being in Tyler Perry movies. We could take this 100 different ways.
We could, but Biggie and Pac were the biggest things at that time.
Oh yeah, like, they were.
There was nothing compared.
No,
even how big Snoop is and became to be.
He wasn't big in Pac.
No.
It was something. It was different. They were the golden children.
Yeah,
facts.
And like Jay-Z became the golden child after that.
Yep, slid right on.
Jay-Z was not going to be the golden child.
It kind of took him a minute, though. Think about it.
It did.
It took.
Think about it, because DMX actually was a bigger rapper than Jay-Z.
DMX was. You're right.
I'm talking about way bigger.
He was.
Yes, I agree.
No, because you got to look at it like this. Because okay,
got those two albums.
We lost Big in '97.
Yep.
Jay didn't really, you know, okay. Well,
Reasonable Doubt came out in 96.
But then, like, Hard Knock Life, when Jay was just out of here,
that
was
came out
99,
98.
98,
99. Because Volume 3 was, you know, 99, and then, like, I believe.
DMX was 99.
Yep, back to back.
Because remember, it was like, you know, Jay was the headliner of Hard Knock Life. It was called Hard Knock Life, you know. But after that, like, when DMX put out two albums in a year.
I always go to the Lollapalooza thing. I ain't never seen nothing like that. That performance when he had the red.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Bruh, he was the biggest rapper on the planet by a mile.
That's true. Yeah.
At that show.
Yes.
It wasn't even, Jay-Z wasn't even in the stratosphere of that DMX.
So that is a good argument, because Jay did have to, you know. But again, you could also make the argument.
Was it Lollapalooza or was it?
No, that was Woodstock.
Woodstock, yeah, I'm sorry.
Woodstock.
But I ain't never seen that like that.
You could also make the argument that, you know, DMX took Pac's place and Jay took Biggie's place.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
commercialism. I ain't mad at it.
I don't know if there's any truth to it. That's just conspiracy talk. But
yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, there's plenty of things we could pull out the air. But
at the end of the day, Jay's a dope rapper. But
oh, Jay nice.
Jay's somebody that when I think of like rappers, he's good. You know, but he's never
a blueprint.
Hold on.
He's literally a blueprint.
He ain't really.
Do any of you remember when Beyonce's 96.3 bus got shot at the last Soul Fest?
What?
No.
No, I don't remember that.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't in Indy when
Soul Fest. No, I don't know that story.
Yeah.
He got me on that one, brother.
Yeah, Indy, y'all was wildin'. Y'all shot at Beyonce's bus.
Ronnie knows about it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, word?
That might have been the other universe that I was in too.
I was in something else. So
listen, the multiverse of hip hop what ifs.
Clearly, we've done some time travel tonight. Been in
that could
a
be
of
a,
different
a
areas.
Show. The what like is like
the Marvel. What ifs of hip hop.
Yeah, like Marvel didn't do what ifs. Yeah.
What if we had a whole segment where it was just like the multiverse of hip hop?
I think you just
AI make it.
I think you just actually came up with a good idea, sir. I really like that one.
It needs developing, but
yeah, I like that one. Maybe be on to something there.
I say that about every idea.
No, I don't.
You do.
No,
let's go back. Mike goes, I think you're on to something.
Nah, if
let's
I don't
develop
like
develop that one.
If I don't like it, I have no problem saying, nah, that ain't it.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't mean that he's a hater.
Yeah.
Yes, well, y'all would call me a hater. If you don't say like that
it,
ain't it.
If you don't like it, you don't like it.
That don't mean that I'm hating. Shout out to Common.
That might be a rapper.
It's my favorite line, man.
Yeah,
Terry threw him in there as a rapper's rapper. I'm agree with that.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lupe is more of one.
Oh my God.
Common, but
Lupe might be
To me, like, when I think of rapper, you're an anomaly. Like, Lupe's a super weird anomaly.
It's because you're thinking of MC more so.
Yeah.
Lupe's an anomaly.
Everybody doesn't think of MC.
So I know.
So would Eminem be a rapper's rapper?
No.
I think he 90s. Is.
He would be
in the 90s, yeah.
I think he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I think he actually, Eminem, you know what?
I think so.
All lyricists love Eminem.
Yeah,
I know. The elite guys, they always sing his praises. I think he is one.
Yeah, I think it's just because of his technicality, not his lyricism. I think it's how technically he changed the game as far as technicality.
Facts.
Lyricism, eh. I mean, he's talking about some weird stuff. So
nice with it.
Napkin on a napkin.
That's slapping in a bath and a bath. Like, if you can do that, that's super well. You're good at least
just
something.
Just like back in the day, if you could rap fast, we were like, oh my God.
Yeah. He's
probably he ain't even too. Saying that.
If you could say metaphysical.
Yeah.
Metaphysical. That's all you need to say was metaphysical.
You could throw metaphysical in a rap.
Yeah, you got metaphysical and psytroponics and.
Oh, he's dropping bars.
Cortex and.
Y'all ain't ready for this, man. I know it went over y'all heads.
Man, Medulla oblongata.
I remember being at rap battles, and as soon as the person that's up next starts rapping fast, everybody gets excited. Ooh. And I'm just like, man, this is trash.
He ain't saying nothing.
It's the same as like a rapper that has like a ton of energy, but it's just their energy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a balance in there.
That's why I love Twista, because Twista actually was talking about something while rapping fast.
Yeah, Twista's.
Twista's an anomaly.
He's an anomaly. Yeah, he is.
Thank you. All right, man.
Put that in a rap.
Bomb-atomically. Like an anomaly.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year.
Newsflash, pal.
If you see it, like it, subscribe, share it. $3 hollers for Patreon. That's where you get the exclusive content
all the way through.
Unfiltered. A great experience.
Support us, please.
Support us. Shout out to the chat if you stuck around. We appreciate you.
Help me, I'm poor.
That part of the movie is so funny.
It's hilarious.
And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.